Download Gundelio for free today and start saving money. Get alerts to hot deals by walking into a gun store. Plus, offers, new products, and videos sent straight to your smartphone. Get your gear for less. Gundelio.com.
Hey, welcome back. Tom Gresham here. It's Gun Talk. Glad that you could be with us. If you want to know more about what we do here at Gun Talk, just go to guntalk.com. It's that easy. We make videos. We do training. We do all sorts of things. We check out the new guns. We have all the... And if you want to know what's going on out there, I mean, talk about new guns, we have videos. A lot of times we get them well ahead of when they're released, and we get to shoot them, and we shoot video with them. And on the day that they're released, we have the reports out there shooting them. You can see them. You can get our impressions of them. You should follow us on Facebook, sure. And you can look at our videos pretty much anywhere you get streaming video, Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, et cetera, pretty much anywhere. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter. That's a different kind of thing. If you're trying to get information about gun rights, what's going on, and know what's happening on a day-to-day basis, sometimes on an hour-by-hour basis, follow me on Twitter. And I know people say, well, I'm not on Twitter. Okay, fine. You don't have to be on Twitter. Just go there, open an account, and just follow me. I am at Gun Talk. That's how it works on Twitter. I'm at Gun Talk, okay? And I'll give you tons of information that you can use when you're talking to people. I mean, if for no other reason, you'd be the smartest person in the room when it comes to this stuff, okay? That's reason enough, not to mention that you could do good things for gun rights with all of this. Speaking of gun rights, one of the things that's been going on for not just months, but for years now, it's a very interesting phenomenon. Kind of piggybacked out of the whole sanctuary movement for illegal immigrants, but it's the Second Amendment sanctuary movement. You may have first heard about it when Virginia started doing that. I think pretty much almost all the counties in Virginia became Second Amendment sanctuaries. What does that mean when they do that? Why do they do it? Does it have any impact? Well, somebody knows. Noah Davis from sanctuarycounties.com joins us right now. Hey, Noah, how are you, sir?
Doing great. Thanks.
You bet. So, first of all, what is this whole Second Amendment sanctuary movement? Where did it come from, and what's going on here?
Well, it's been happening. I mean, we've been tracking it. Well, I say we. It's just me doing it all. But we've been tracking it for the better part of a year and a half now, ever since it started in Virginia. Right. But it's been going on well before that. Some people say it started over in New Mexico. Definitely Illinois had a lot of them, but it's hard to track back exactly which state started first or which county originated it, because I keep finding older ones. You'd have to go on the website and check it out and see if you can find the oldest one. But yeah, that's where it got started. I mean, it's hard to say exactly, pin down where exactly it started, but
what does it mean what's it mean when a county says we are a Second Amendment sanctuary county? What do they mean by that?
So in the majority of the counties that are passing these, basically what they're saying is that they're not going to use any county funds, personnel, or other resources to enforce any of what they deem to be an unconstitutional gun law. And in many cases, they're doing this by passing resolutions at the county Board of Commissioners or Board of Supervisors meeting. But other counties are passing what's known as an ordinance to get this passed. So the difference between the two is the resolution, people say, is more of like symbolic gesture, whereas an ordinance actually has some law, some teeth to it, as they like to say. I'm not a lawyer. All I'm doing is archiving a movement that I saw going on, and I decided to track it nationally. But that's basically what they're saying, is that they're not going to enforce any unconstitutional gun laws.
And a lot of times this really falls to the local sheriff, the county sheriff, because people don't understand sometimes that how powerful a sheriff is. A sheriff is the highest law enforcement officer in a county. And people say, well, what about the state police? Nope, even more than the state police. And there have actually been sheriffs who basically served oaths and said, look, federal officers, when you come into my county, you have to check in with us before you do anything. You want to serve a warrant here? You got to check in with us. I've even heard of some, I don't know if it's actually happened, who said, and if you come into our county and you try to pull a stunt where you're trying to arrest somebody or serve a warrant, you don't talk to us, we're actually going to arrest you, the federal law enforcement officers. I mean, that's how serious they are.
Oh, you've heard right. By the way, I'll get to that, but just to let you know, and for any of your listeners, a number of counties, county sheriffs, have actually passed this on their own, basically. I mean, if you think about it, who's going to actually enforce the gun laws, right? It's going to be the sheriff. So you can, if you can't get your, if maybe your county board is not in, you know, in tune with the Second Amendment, and they didn't actually believe in the oath that they took, then maybe you can get your county sheriff on board and get them to pass it and just say, hey, I'm not going to enforce any new unconstitutional gun laws. But what you were speaking on just a minute ago about actually arresting federal agents and whatnot, the first instance that I saw of that taking place, I believe, was in Newton County, Missouri. And a number of other counties have passed something very similar. They're calling them Second Amendment Preservation Acts. So if you were to go to sanctuarycounties.com and type in Second Amendment Preservation Act, you could probably find examples of those. And maybe if you want to, I have the full text of all the resolutions, ordinances, and acts of any county that I can actually get a copy of it. Sometimes it's very difficult.
Right.
But you can take that text, switch out the name of the county, take it to your county commission, and see if you can get it passed there.
Oh,
that's the reason I made the website.
Huh. Okay. Well, I was going to ask why do this, but so that it makes it easier for people to say, oh, I see how they're doing this. And then we can use this as the model to go do this where I live.
That's exactly what I was doing. So when I first started the website back, I think it was 2018. Anyway, when I first started, it was the Democrats had taken over in Virginia, and they started introducing crazy gun laws that would have made me a felon overnight. So I was understandably concerned about this, as were many Virginians. And one of the things, one of the ways that we started, you know, working to get around this was basically by passing these sanctuary resolutions. But it wouldn't have gone so far had we not been able to coordinate with one another and share resources. So one of the things that was happening was people would put these resolutions in a Facebook group, and they would share information about county board meetings. And I was taking that information out of the private group, adding it to a public website, and then sharing the link back into the group so people could send it out of the private Facebook group. But after a while, I started realizing this was happening outside of Virginia as well. And so I decided to switch to a national, you know, archiving, because nobody was tracking it nationally. And so I'm keeping copies of the resolutions, ordinances, acts, and whatnot on the website so that other people can actually go grab the text, take it to their commission or the sheriff or whoever, and say, hey, why can't we do this? And I'm also, on top of that, creating maps showing all the counties.
Right.
And mind you, I'm just one person doing this in my spare time. But
so I hear you.
If your county's not on the map, I will get there. Just give it some time. But they can take that map and show it to their county board of commissioners and say, look, there's 20 counties in our state that are doing it, that have done this already. You can't tell me that you can't do it, because it's been done. Now, we're over 1,200 now counties that have passed these in, across the United States. So you can't tell me that it can't be done in our county, too.
The website is sanctuarycounties.com. I'm looking on it right now. And where you started, Virginia, it looks like more than 95% of the counties. You have 95 counties in Virginia that are now Second Amendment sanctuary counties, which is phenomenal.
Yes, sir. It went 0 to 60 quite quickly, as they say. But we went nuts. Kentucky did something very similar.
What is the benefit to us? On the one hand, it almost feels like a feel-good kind of thing. Is there any real benefit to this?
Yes. Okay. So I would say that there is a benefit. And one of the arguments that I see, because, mind you, I've watched more county board meetings than I care to admit, and they are boring as heck. But, one of the arguments that I see made often is that this is just symbolic. It doesn't really do anything.
Right.
But one of the things that I like to point out is that if you take a look at these maps that I'm making, and you start noticing green, 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 you look at like a state like Virginia, for example, I'll use my own state, that whole map turned green, right? And so now you got these state legislatures that are like, well, maybe we shouldn't pass that new gun bill we were talking about, because it would appear that all the counties inside of Virginia don't want it. So it's a way to make a statement. Is it a symbol? Yeah, but symbols have power too. additionally, keeping in mind that these, you know, politicians at the state level, they, you know, well, they're politicians. They want to go where the voters want them to go, right?
Yep.
So this is letting them know, hey, we don't want that. Maybe if all the counties in your district are now turning green on my map, maybe I shouldn't do this, right? Maybe
that's,
I shouldn't,
weasel
out of the Second Amendment like that.
Yeah, you know, because you know that there's people talk to them and say, well, people don't really, you know, want you to do this. Are people, the people really want, this is what they're told all the time, the people really do want more gun control. They really do.
Just common sense, right?
And why wouldn't you? And then they look and say, well, wait a minute. It looks like more than half or three quarters or 90% of the counties in my state have said no. I'm thinking maybe you're lying to me, and I want to stay in office. Mm-hmm. I don't want these people to vote me out of office. So that may be the real benefit here.
There's another benefit, and that is to there's a number of states that are passing Second Amendment Preservation Acts or Second Amendment Sanctuary. You probably heard Texas Governor Greg Abbott is trying to pass a Second Amendment Sanctuary for Texas. Well, this also provides ammunition at the state, you know, level to say, hey, these people actually want it, because you get a lot of Republicans that are kind of squirrely, right? When it comes to our rights, and when they shouldn't be. They talk a good game when they're trying to get elected, but then they actually get in power and they, you know.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so this is actually a good way to show them, hey, we actually meant it when we, you know, elected you because you said you supported the Second Amendment. So go do your job and support it at the state level. So this is just another bit of ammunition, so to speak, you know,
like
for them to go and pass these at the state level.
Hey, Noah, let me just do this. I'm going to offer you a huge gun talk attaboy. Thank you for doing what you're doing, putting all this together. I know it's a lot of work. The website is sanctuarycounties.com. And if people want to support you, they can do it. You've got a link on there for Patreon. People can throw some money your way just to help out, because I know this thing takes a lot of time.
Yes, thank you.
All right.
Appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Again, sanctuarycounties.com. Go take a look at it. See if your county's there. If not, maybe you're the person on the ground. So, hey, we'll put our group together here, and a group can be four people. We're going to make it happen. Again, thanks, Noah. Now, that's the kind of activism, one guy making a difference. All right, our number, 866-TALK-GUN. Be right back with more Gun Talk.
Carry comfortably without sacrificing capacity with Smith & Wesson's M&P Shield Plus. Designed for concealed carry, the M&P Shield Plus offers a 13+1 extended magazine or a 10+1 flush mount magazine. In a slim, micro-compact frame, the M&P Shield Plus 9mm is offered in a variety of configurations, including performance center models with optics cuts, upgraded sights, and more. The Shield Plus. Find yours at smith-wesson.com.
People often talk about the good old days as a time when everything was better. And during those good old days, it was hunters who stepped forward, demanding change to ensure their legacy of conservation continued. In 1934, the first federal duck stamp provided much-needed funding for wetlands conservation during the Dust Bowl era. In 1937, the Pittman-Robertson Act placed a tax on firearms and ammunition allocated for wildlife conservation, supported by waterfowl hunters and sportsmen. Ducks Unlimited was founded the same year, ensuring a bright future for wetlands habitat across North America. And now, like then, Ducks Unlimited needs hunters and sportsmen to achieve its mission. The almost 15 million acres Ducks Unlimited has conserved are a direct result of the sporting community rising to meet waterfowl and wildlife habitat preservation challenges head-on. Learn how you can help Ducks Unlimited today at ducks.org.
I do want to just touch on this. We talked about it earlier in the show, but you may have missed it. One of the things that President Joe Biden did on Thursday, among his announcements for gun control he wants to have passed, he listed his nominee for the head of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. The guy's name is David Chipman, C-H-I-P-M-A-N. Shipman worked for the ATF. He was actually involved with the World Trade Center investigation in Oklahoma City. After he, here's the thing to know about this, because this is a total payoff to the gun ban industry, which gave him $100 million to help get him elected, the Bloomberg-funded gun ban industry. After David Shipman left the government, he worked for Everytown for gun safety. Michael Bloomberg, the head gun banner in the country, an organization that pushes for restrictions. He also worked for SpotShotter. That's a technology that shows where there are gunshots in a town. He also now works for the Giffords Group. He's a senior advisor at Giffords. That's the gun control, gun ban organization. Gabby Giffords and her husband, the junior senator from Arizona. Let's see. On his LinkedIn profile, Shipman lists himself as a, quote, violent crime reduction strategist. He is the choice of the gun ban lobby. Imagine the uproar if Donald Trump had said, for the new head of the ATF, I would like to put in Wayne LaPierre or somebody from the NRA. Everybody would be screaming, and they would be right. That wouldn't, that's not the role. What Biden is saying is, I'm going to incredibly, totally politicize this regulatory agency. The agency that decides how and when and if gun makers can make guns or ship guns or store guns, how and if you're able to hold on to your federal firearms license as a gun store. The agency which has at least tried so far to arbitrarily redefine what a gun actually is, saying that a piece of plastic is a gun, bump stocks. He wants them to now say that stabilizing brace is a gun. And it goes on and on. If you want to do something about this, you can, because it's going to take 60 votes in the Senate to get him confirmed. I don't think he can get there. But this would be a really good time to kind of make it a point to call the Senate, call your two senators regularly once a week, and just say, I want to make sure the senator knows that I still am asking him or her to oppose the nomination of David Shipman as head of the ATF, okay? Had something happen, I'm going to switch on here. Had something happen this last couple of days. A conversation on Facebook in a reloading group. It's a group, you know, I like to reload. And somebody posted a picture of a zebra that he shot with his reloads, talking about his reloads. And what was interesting was how many comments there were from shooters saying, that's terrible, that's unsportsmanlike, how could you do that? People who own guns, shoot guns, reload for their guns, and are virulently anti-hunting. And I engaged a few of them in conversation. And one of the things I pointed out is they said, well, you know, it's just these people who are trophy hunters. You should be ashamed of yourself. Well, wait, stop. Trophy hunting is the term used by anti-hunters. If you use the term trophy hunter, you are an anti-hunter. All animals, pretty much all animals that are killed are used. The meat is used. I mean, unless it's a, generally cats, not so much. But zebras, yeah, they eat all of that. Things that are shot in Africa, they eat all of that. All the meat is used. Nothing goes to waste. But more than that, I had to point out, it's called the North American Model of Wildlife Management. It works like this. It's a pretty simple deal. It's going to take me about 90 seconds to explain it. Once I do, you'll get it, and you can pass it along to everybody. If you want to help a wildlife population, you have to make sure it's wanted. It is in someone's best interest to make sure that wildlife population stays around. In the case of Africa, people say, well, you could just give them money. You don't have to say that, well, we're going to go hunt big game and then that money there helps. You don't understand. It's just not about giving them money. This is about having people on the ground in Africa want to preserve the wildlife and the habitat. You're not giving them money to help them, although it does help them. What you're doing is saying, hey, chief, you know, instead of you poisoning the leopard, just picking something, that comes in and kills one of your cows. We got a crazy guy from America who will come over here and give and pay you the equivalent of 50 cows to kill one of your leopards. All of a sudden, he's looking at that and going, wait, I got people who come here and pay us to make sure we have leopards or elephants or whatever it is. Now there's a financial incentive for them to protect the habitat, to protect the animals. So hunters, once again, as they always have, pay for conservation. Almost nobody else pays for conservation, really, especially in the U.S. But the very idea that we'd have shooters who are anti-hunting was weird to me. It was a weird thing to realize. And as I'm trying to point out to them, you know, before you start posting things like that online and making yourself look really uninformed, trying to be kind here, uninformed, you might want to avail yourself of the information. Hunters pay for conservation. And if you don't incentivize people to protect the habitat and the animals, they will simply get rid of the habitat, drain it, pave it, develop it, and they will literally kill, trap, poison a lot of the wildlife that's a nuisance to them, in the case of Africa. But if they can make money from it, they will make sure those animals are still around. So now we got hunting that's going to take a teeny tiny percentage of the population that we're going to die anyway. You can look up carrying capacity, learn about that. It doesn't affect the overall population of the animals. It ensures the survival of the species and the population. And it helps the locals by providing money for schools, hospitals, and clean water wells. It's a win-win-win-win-win. Modern hunting is absolutely compatible with the environment and conservation. So should you carry, when you carry a gun, should you carry around in the chamber or should you carry an empty chamber for safety? We'll come back to that in a second here. First, though, I want to talk with, Colton on line four out of, let's talk to Don, rather, out of Benton, Louisiana. He's on, too. Hey, Don, what's on your mind,
sir? How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good. I'm really enjoying your program. Before I get into my question I wanted to tell you, I have difficulty saying the word president and Biden together in that acronym of POTUS, you know, that they use. Mm-hmm. I have one for him. It's a PINO, which means president in name only.
Well, he's president. We may not like it, but he's president, okay?
Well, he's PINO to me. So
okay,
my question is, did you mean for us to call, is it effective for, because I have called my congressperson, both Senate and House, mm-hmm. but is it redundant to call weekly?
It is two things. It is both.
I have one more comment.
It is redundant, but it is effective. Yes. And yes,
okay.
I absolutely do mean it when I say call them every week. Yes.
Okay. So the other and my last thing is we need to get stations like yours and the other conservative stations to start applying to the Democrats to specifically ask the Democrat out in the United States to call their Democratic congressperson, because once they start getting calls from their own representatives, there might be some influence there.
Well, what makes you think they're not already doing that?
I just don't think they are. As I'm trying to talk to as many people when I go out, you know, some of these, I hate to say, are my relatives, you know, and they're mm-hmm. they are strong Democrats. They just all lock and step.
Yeah, but
even though they're pro Second Amendment, they're lock and step with
that. That's where I was going to ask you. That's the question I was going to ask you. I have found that there are a lot of folks who are very strong Democrats and really like most of the stuff in the party, but they very much disagree with them on guns and the Second Amendment. There are a lot of Democrats who disagree. They are pro Second Amendment. People don't understand
right.
that. And sometimes you can get them if you talk to them, you know, without being confrontational, obviously. And say, look, would you talk to your congressman or senator or whatever and say, look, I agree with you on everything else, but on the gun thing, you got it wrong. And as a liberal, as a Democrat, I support the Second Amendment. I want you to get off of this bandwagon, and I want you to support our individual rights. And a lot of them not only will do that, a lot of them are doing that right now.
Well, and I'll continue to try, but I just wanted to, that's my view, is that even on all the political side, that we should be imploring the Democrats to call their congressmen. I didn't think that they were, but I'll look at it in an open view, but I didn't think that they were calling
the Republicans are calling. I'm going to give you a website to look at. This is easy to remember. You don't even have to write it down, okay? This is easy.
All right.
TheLiberalGunClub.com.
Okay.
You got to have the V in there. TheLiberalGunClub.com. It is
exactly, is it Victor, not the?
T-H-E.
Oh, T-H-E, okay.
T-H-E, the. So it is literally a gun club. It's a national organization of liberal gun owners. And I know people go, oh, there are no liberal gun owners. Yes, there are. They're everywhere. They're all over the place. And they're good Second Amendment people. Thing is, and I've seen this firsthand, we get our guys in there and they start screaming about liberal this, liberal that, liberal. And these people are going, I want to be on your side, dude, but man, the way that you're calling me out and making me, you know, feel like I'm unwanted, I don't think I want to help you with your cause. We defeat our own goals by being so tribal about this whole thing.
What were those two bill numbers? Because I'm going to call. I didn't know the numbers exactly that you were talking about today.
The two most recent ones are H.R. 8 and H.R. 1446.
Okay.
1446.
Got it.
And you just ask them, look, like, you know, ask you to oppose, vote against H.R. 8 and H.R. 1446. And also, I am opposed to all of President Biden's gun control measures and his choice for director for the ATF. I mean, might as well get them all in while you're there.
Yep.
Good deal.
I'm going to do it.
All right. Thanks so much. I sure appreciate that, sir. 866-TALK-GUN gets you in here. Let's see. Where are we? Yes. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break early because I've got some calls on here. If you're on hold, don't go anywhere. I want to take the break. We're going to do this. Come back. That will have plenty of time on the backside for you. Also, we've got room if you'd like to join us right now. The number is 866-TALK-GUN. We'll be right back.
Visit Brownells.com for the best parts, tools, and accessories to get your build on. Building an AR? Brownells has the best uppers, lowers, barrels, handguards, and parts. What about a custom pistol build? Brownells has both 80% and complete handgun frames, slides, and barrels to make your handgun what you want. Brownells also has articles and videos to help you build and customize your firearms. Go to Brownells.com and start your gun build today.
Visit guntalk.com/win to enter the Maxed Out giveaway. One grand prize winner receives the new Ruger Max 9 micro-sized striker-fired red dot ready 9mm pistol offering 12+1 capacity, plus a $250 gift certificate to Crossbreed Holsters. Three first prize winners receive a Crossbreed Holsters gift certificate for $250 to use on holsters, belts, and accessories. Enter now through April 30th at guntalk.com/win.
Introducing Kimber's Micro 9 Repeat Black Ice. All the attitude of the original, now in a 9mm subcompact that's like nothing else. Here's just a taste of what you get. A match-grade V-cut trigger, True Glow TFX Pro Day-Night Sights, the Stiplex front strap pattern, slide lightning cuts, and stepped cocking serrations. In other words, the Micro 9 Repeat Black Ice may be subcompact, but it's still big on performance. Find your new everyday carry at KimberAmerica.com.
All right, back with you. 866-TALK-GUN. That'll get you right in here. I'm just looking. We got a lot of people who've called in all of a sudden. Let's take five. Joe is in Kansas. Hey, Joe, you're on the air. Executive orders. Talk to me.
Well, first of all, I have three things to say about it. The first thing is, you talk about silencers every week and how people have to go through the FBI. Why shouldn't people have to go through the FBI for other parts?
I don't think they should.
Wait.
No, you don't get to filibuster. You're going to throw something out and challenge me. I get to answer it, okay? All right. I don't think you should have to do any paperwork on silencers. I don't think you should have to do any paperwork or background check on any firearms. Next question.
It's about the gun show loophole. Why can't they have, like, two state troopers when you enter the gun show?
Okay, what is the gun show loophole? I don't think it exists. What is it?
Well, there's some kind of loophole they're always talking about where people can go in there and buy guns and stuff.
You don't know what it is, do you?
Well, I hear about it all the time.
I know. That doesn't mean it's true. It doesn't exist. All the laws outside of a gun show apply inside a gun show. In every state, in every city, in every jurisdiction, there is literally no such thing as a gun show loophole. There's no place where the laws are different inside a gun show than outside a gun show. What do you think about that?
Well, third thing is this.
Oh, wait. No. You don't get to jump to the next one. I'm asking, you said there's a gun show loophole. I'm telling you it's not. And I'm saying, what do you think now that you have learned that you have been lied to about this?
I've known about it. I've been arguing with these people about it for years. There is no gun show loophole.
You just said there was.
We do. There's enough background check business already. We don't need any more.
Well, where are you? What's going on here? I mean, you're telling me there is a gun show loophole, and then you're saying there's not? Are you real, or is this like a fake phony call?
That was a fool's joke.
Okay. Look, don't have time for it. Thanks. Goodbye. John's on 4 out of Little Rock, Arkansas. Hey, John, talk to me.
How you doing, sir?
Great.
It's almost like that last guy was trying to test, see if he knew what you was talking about.
I don't know what he was doing, but I have no time for foolishness like that.
I understand. I wanted to call and say thank you, and I wanted to give you that a boy and your whole crew at your station for just spreading the word, knowledge that we need to know. Some things we don't need to know. I appreciate you. I'm sorry if that's overdoing it. I apologize.
I appreciate it. You know, we can all use an attaboy every now and then. John, thank you and look, don't forget to call the station and thank them too. I appreciate that very much. I'm going to jump down to Jim on 3 out of Palmer, Alaska. Jim, talk to me. Whiting out rear dots on a sight.
Yes, sirree, sir. I tried it. And I haven't been able to go out on the range yet because we've been having some gnarly weather up here for quite a number of weeks. But dry fire wise, it's amazing, Tom. I mean,
did you hear about this from me saying that's what I do?
I did a couple of weeks ago, I believe it was.
Yeah, for those who don't know, let me explain. A lot of guns, pistols come with a white dot on the front and white dots on the back. And what I do is I immediately take a black Sharpie and I black out the dots on the rear sight. I want it to be completely black. So what was your experience once you did that?
Well, I did the same thing with a Sharpie. And it was like I was just concentrated on the front sight. I mean, you're kind of subliminally aware of the black posts being mm-hmm. there, mm-hmm. but they no longer are part of the picture because that front sight just jumps up there, and it seems like the black posts are always level with the top of the white front sight. I can't explain it, to tell you the truth. I mean,
You know what it is? Your eye automatically, without even thinking about it, centers the front sight into the notch. If you have the white dots on the rear sight, now you're trying to line up three dots. Well, you don't need to do that. Your eye will line up that front sight. It will put an equal amount of light on either side of the front sight when it's dropped into the notch. It will drop that front sight down where it needs to be. It makes you faster. It certainly makes it more accurate. Now we're really going to get heretical here. If you really want to go crazy,
yeah,
black out the front sight too.
Oh, boy. So,
well, okay, you trusted me on this one. Try this. Find like a whiteboard marker that you can wipe off, or maybe even take just a teeny tiny little piece of electrician's tape, black electrician's tape.
Okay.
And cover up the white dot on the front sight. Here's what you're going to find. You're going to find I didn't need those at all.
Really?
And
wow.
And it's actually going to be even more accurate because now you're going to, instead of putting the white dot on the site, you're going to use the top of the post on the front sight. You know, there are no target pistols for fine, you know, bullseye type shooting that have white dots on their sights at all. They're all black. All of them.
Well.
I know. People are going to go, what? Really?
Then why I didn't know that.
Then why do they put them on the guns? Because that's what people want, and they say, I want them. And it's interesting. People don't necessarily want what they need, and they don't need what they want.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to thank you. I mean, I'll give that a try with a piece of tape first.
Yeah,
I'm an old guy,
go,
so I'm not sure you can teach an old guy that many new tricks.
Well, tell you what, try it and let me know what you think, especially, and here's the other part.
Okay.
Especially if you're going to be outside. The all-black front and back really works slick. When you get into low-light situations, the front dot, the white dot on the front side, I can't say that, will help you as far as just speed when you're just doing, you got to put it on somebody's chest, that kind of a deal. But if you're talking about making it as accurate as you can, blacking out all of them, I think you're going to be surprised. You're going to find you like it. But I understand. It would be worth testing it before you put the permanent marker on it.
Right. Okay, I'll do that, and I'll let you know.
Good deal. I appreciate that. You take care. Let's see here. There we are. We got Ron on 5 out of Oregon. He's back with us. Hey, Ron, did you build a 6-millimeter arc?
I built the upper. Yes, I did.
Have you shot it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm working up a load for it. I worked up a couple of loads for it. It's great. I'm one of those guys that kind of like to have something a little different.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about building an upper just for the heck of it, because mm-hmm. I've got a Smith & Wesson Sport that shoots a whole lot better with my reloads than the factory loads.
Okay.
And so I put a Timney trigger in it, and I figured, you know, let's build an upper just to have something different. And then when I thought maybe I was going to probably go with a 6.5 Grendel, then I heard about the arc.
Mm-hmm.
And thought, what the heck? So got on Brownell's website and got a barrel and just gradually over time bought all the pieces I needed and put it together, and works great.
Yeah, the 6-millimeter arc, it's a new cartridge, relatively new cartridge from Hornady. It stands for ARC, Advanced Rifle Cartridge. 6-millimeter, it is, where are you getting the brass? How are you doing this?
I had to get them through Hornady.
Okay, but you were able to get brass for it.
Yep. I mean, it's like everything else. It's not a ton of it. But actually,
right.
What I did was I bought a couple of boxes of loaded ammunition.
Oh, okay, smart.
And then I saved a couple of the of those to use kind of as a benchmark for my reloads.
Right.
And, to get 243 Winchester performance actually exceeds the 243 Winchester out beyond 350, 400 yards out of an
AR. And that's out of an AR. I mean, that is pretty impressive. I'm telling you, I'm going to give up trying to guess which cartridges are going to be successful, because when the new ones come out, I always look at them and go, oh, who needs that? That's just another silly thing. I was wrong about the 6.5 Creedmoor. I was wrong about the 6-millimeter Creedmoor. I'm probably wrong about the 6-millimeter Arc. I'm going to give up. I don't know which ones are going to work, okay? I just don't. All right, back with you. 866 Talk Gun. Get you in here. Going straight to the phones. Line 2, Mike's out of Jamestown, Arkansas. Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike, you there? Okay, nope. Let's drop down to line 5. Benny's with us out of Bossier City, Louisiana. Hey, Benny, you there, sir?
Hey, Tom. Hey, listen, I have to respectfully disagree with you a little bit when you're talking about the propriety of blacking out all points of reference as mm-hmm. it pertains to aim. Now, I have a set of plenty fine Trigicons on my Compact 45.
Okay.
It's not my intention to have to shoot center mass every time. If I can have my elevation, I can shoot someone in the leg. And trust me, with the rounds I've got in there, it will totally readdress what their intentions were. And nobody gets killed.
Wait, stop. Are you saying that if somebody's attacking you, you're going to shoot him in the leg?
If I can.
Why?
If I can.
Why?
I've killed more people.
I don't care how many people you kill.
That doesn't make any sense.
I'm telling you, somebody is trying to cut you. Somebody wants to stick a knife in your eyeball socket. And you're going to shoot him in the leg so he can still hobble over and stick a knife in your eye?
I'm just that quick with it, yeah.
Well, you are a better man than I am, Gunga Din. I wish you luck with it. I just think that is the most foolish thing I've heard in a long time. But I appreciate your call, sir. For anybody else who's listening and thinking, well, I'll shoot him in the leg. No, the goal is not to kill him. The goal is to stop him. And people shot in the leg often are not terribly impressed with the whole thing. We just saw the video, and you can go online on YouTube and see it. The sheriff's deputy in Maryland who shot a man at point-blank range 12 times in the chest before the guy fell down. 12, count them, and even dozen times. There's a body of work out there that's a study of terminal ballistics. And if you decide you're serious about this, you ought to go start looking into it, about what works and what doesn't, and how it works, how long it takes, and what really happens. Let me just say this. Military experience is of very little value in evaluating this stuff. Somebody says, I've killed a bunch of people in the military. Okay, cool. Man, you're the guy. But none of that applies to this. My guess is that none of them were up close and personal and trying to cut your head off, and you're doing it with a pistol. Just my guess, okay? If you'd like to join us, and we got several people, if you're on hold right now, don't go anywhere. We're going to get you into the after show, okay? And we'll talk about ghost guns. We'll talk about partial builds. We'll talk about ammo. We're talking about bullet selection. We'll talk about, should you carry your gun with an empty chamber? I don't understand, but that still keeps coming up. We'll talk about that. If you'd like to join us for that, 866-TALK-GUN. In the meantime, this week, make a commitment. Do some more training. Take some classes. Carry your gun everywhere. Carry it loaded. Carry it fully loaded. Once you put a round in the chamber, take the magazine out, put one more round on top of it. Because if you don't do that, it's not fully loaded. You took one round out of the magazine. Top it off. If you don't understand that stuff, go get more training. It's only your life. It's only the life of your wife. It's only the lives of your children. If it's important for you, to you, you'll do it. It's really all up to you, isn't it?